Well, Will Cross joins me this morning. Will was the featured speaker at the annual Diabetes Forum held just a few weeks ago. It was sponsored by the Diabetes Association, Upstate's Joslin Diabetes Center, assistance from Novo Nordisk, and that might give you a little hint as to why Will was chosen to be the speaker. Good morning, Will, and welcome.
Good morning.
Tell us, what was it you were talking about?
Well, I talk about living with diabetes, but in particular, climbing Mount Everest, walking to the North Pole, as well as the South Pole, and being able to do so as a patient. Really, I hope to set the example for others who struggle with the condition.
Okay, now I'm going to stop you there because I know there are people shaking their heads and saying, living with diabetes doesn't fit with things like climbing Mount Everest and going to the North and the South Poles. I mean, I don't live with diabetes and I don't know that I could do those things. So let's go back and talk about, you were diagnosed with diabetes as a child.
I was diagnosed in 76, so I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
And those were really the dark ages of diabetes.
And why?
Well, we had insulin for a start. My life's blood was coming in glass syringes, long needles, very uncomfortable, very unpredictable.
And that was type 1 diabetes, too. We want to make sure that people understand that's the juvenile onset, they call it, right?
Exactly. So my pancreas does not produce insulin. Insulin turns your food into usable energy.
Okay.
Easy way to think of it.
Easy way.
In the old days, when I was diagnosed, it came from pigs and from cows.
Mm.
You know, these days we have very easy to use devices. The FlexPen is what I use. It's convenient, but important for me is the insulin is predictable. That is, I know when it's working and I know when it stops working, exactly when it says it does, and that's critical.
You know, it raises a question because I know there are some people who think that maybe they've been told they're pre-diabetic, maybe they've been told that they're in the early stages of diabetes, and they're told that they can control their diabetes with drugs like metformin perhaps, or control it even with diet, and they're scared to death of insulin. But your story is very much about insulin, isn't it?
It's completely about insulin. I mean, insulin has allowed me to function to the best of my ability
as
a patient with diabetes.
you function beyond what most of us who don't have diabetes and would be considered healthy function. Talk to us a little bit about some of these experiences. How old were you, for instance, when you climbed Mount Everest?
I climbed Mount Everest as part of a larger project called the Novolog Peaks and Poles Challenge. Novolog is the insulin that I use.
Okay.
And the goal was to climb the highest mountain on each continent, so the seven summits, as well as walk to the North Pole and the South Pole. And I did this in the early part of this decade.
Okay.
I continue to do it. I was just in Tibet 2 weeks ago. Climbing is what I love to do, and the predictability and ease of use of my Novolog FlexPens is a contributing factor to my ability to be healthy.
So, you know, I think of somebody climbing a mountain or, say, taking a long hike like that of hundreds of miles as you have to take supplies with you.
Sure.
Do you have problems with storage? I mean, how do you get all of that to
It's a good question because, you know, insulin cannot freeze. So a challenge that I've always had on any mountain, specifically at the poles, is preventing the medication from freezing. I do that by wearing it on my body.
Okay.
So it maintains the body temperature.
Mm-hmm.
That's proven effective for me and allowed me to function in these bizarre environments.
Yeah, and bizarre environment would be a great example. You're a great example, I think, particularly for young people who are diagnosed with diabetes. And I know we have a lot of parents and grandparents who listen to HealthLink on air. And I think of this as, say they have a child in their family who's just been diagnosed with diabetes. What is your message to them? I mean, the bigger message is obviously you can do what you want to do. But what's your message to parents who find their children have diabetes and now know that they need to raise their child with this different set of circumstances?
It is different. A huge thing to recognize is your value as an advocate, as parents, as brothers and sisters, as family members. The advocacy required to maintain a healthy lifestyle with diabetes is a significant part of my success, and I think would be for any child who is now with the condition. You can live a normal life. You can do the things that are important to you. I'm certainly not suggesting climbing Mount Everest, but look, we all have something that's important to us, whether it's, you know, play the game, dance on stage, whatever it might be. And,
mm-hmm.
and the important thing is that we can control this condition. Diabetes does not have to control us. that the medications are out there, the education is out there. You know, the ADA, Jocelyn Clinic, they provide outstanding resources, and those are available. They simply weren't when I was that age.
You know, we really have come a long way. I mean, it isn't even just that we have the advocates and we have the organizations that can help us, but just the drugs that are available now in terms of different kinds of insulin for different kinds of diabetes. There are even different delivery systems, aren't there? You said you use the FlexPen, but there are some people who wear the insulin on their bodies?
Well, there are insulin pumps, certainly, that I've had a lot of experience and good luck with, but true to form, the flex pens are what I use on all my expeditions. Mm-hmm. They're what I use when I travel around the world. You know, I have flex pens pretty much in every continent, simply as backup and preparation for each trip.
And talk to me about some of the international travel. Are you, do you have certain ways, you know, we go through security now, for instance, and there must be different things you can do going through security.
Well, it's true. You know, security used to be a nightmare with an insulin pump, and then you bring along delivery devices and they look at them. I have to say that TSA has done a better job of recognizing patients with diabetes.
The TSA being the group at the airport who screens you, right?
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Those lovely people that make our flights more fun.
They do make us safer.
They do a better job of recognizing that. But I have to say, you know, I've had instances in other countries where they don't recognize these new medical devices, these delivery devices. Mm-hmm. And I have to explain them. You know, I do keep a note from my physician saying that I need this medication.
Sure.
And I think that's important to recognize when you do go abroad.
But I loved what you said, that this is very much about controlling the diabetes and not letting the diabetes control you. You certainly have not let it limit you.
I've been very fortunate. You know, I appreciate my work with Novo Nordisk, and I look forward to continued climbing and success.
Excellent. Well, Will Cross, thanks so much for coming by this morning. I think you've given us all some food for thought.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up, the perfect present for our sweetie pie, or boiling water and washed lettuce. Well, folks, the other day, my wife, Pammy, was out of town, and I was on my own with the stove and the refrigerator. And the truth is, no one would ever mistake me for Julia Child with the kitchen utensils, even though some say they can occasionally hear a certain similarity in the voice tone. Anyway, there I was doing my Chef Boy Oh Boy routine with the can opener and the canned chili, and rummaging around in the fridge when the light went on. Not the fridges, the one in my noodle. But before I tell you what my own 10-watt wonder flickered to Eureka with, let me tell you the background, the essential facts. Pammy loves her cup of coffee in the morning, almost as much as she loves green salad at night. So much so that I sometimes feel a little jealous with them. Fact number two, before Pammy left town, she cooked me a bunch of heat-me-ups and Tupperwared them into the fridge. Fact numero trois. Thanks, Julia. Research shows that despite the feminist revolution, women still do much more than their share of the everyday household tasks. And the last fact is, whoops, don't miss one. Fact numero quattro. Research also shows that couples who share everyday household tasks more evenly are happier together. The last fact is, it's that delightful ho-ho-ho time of year again when our brains start humming carols and thinking sentimental things like, what the blazes am I going to get her this year? So there I was poking around among goodies Pammy had left, and didn't I find a plastic bag stuffed with pre-washed lettuce? Yowie, she is nice to me. And the light flickered on again. I bet she'd like it if I washed the lettuce every now and then. And flicker, flicker. Even though I don't drink coffee, I bet she'd love to come out of her morning shower with the kettle on and the filter already in that little doodad on top of her mug. Whoops, gotta get that kettle. Good luck getting your 10-watt wonder percolating on some everyday presents for your sweetie pie. And guys, just don't gift wrap that lettuce more than a week in advance. Happy Hanukkah Christmas, everybody, if I don't see you before then. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for tuning in.